Blog Talk Radio.
Pour yourself a cup of tea, put your feet up, and relax. Show host Randy Fine, narcissistic abuse expert, compassionate counselor for clients worldwide, and author of the groundbreaking new book, Close Encounters of the Worst Kind, invites you into her sanctuary, a place where your emotional, physical, and spiritual well-being are all that matters. Time to Heal is a fundraising single written and performed by Johnny Z for the Amy Winehouse Foundation. For more information, please go to johnnymusic.com, johnnymusic.com. And now, it's time to meet Randy, show host of the podcast enjoyed by fans around the globe, A Fine Time for Healing.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. This is your show host, Randy Fine, and today is Free Advice Friday, the day that I take your calls and answer your questions about your narcissistic abuse. I will also entertain your stories or your comments or anything that you've done to help yourself and rise above it. I also have two letters that have been written in to me today, and I will be answering them on air, so it's a lot to get to. I believe we have a caller, so let's get started. Oh, before I say that, I wanted to remind you all that my book, Close Encounters of the Worst Kind, The Narcissistic Abuse Survivor's Guide to Healing and Recovery, is out and doing fabulously well. People tell me that they just take it everywhere they go because it's such a great support system for them. And this book covers absolutely everything and anything you could ever want to know and learn. So I urge you to get the copy of the book. I really do. I just hands down believe that you will not be sorry. So let's see if we have a caller here. Good morning. Hi, how are you?
Just fine, thank you. I have read your book on Kindle, and I could not put it down. I had to force myself to get other things done, but it has been helpful, and it's one I can easily refer people to, especially these Pollyannas. and I know there was a section you mentioned about one of the problems is the Pollyannaism, and they're unbelievable.
Yes, for those who are listening, Pollyannaism is magical thinking. It's sort of when you just want to believe everything will be okay, even when there's no evidence that it can be. So, thank you for that. And, you know, I'm asking everyone, because people who see the book on Amazon look to see if there's reviews to help them decide whether or not to buy it. So I urge you and everyone to please leave reviews, because your reviews will encourage other people to get the book. And I do believe it's very helpful. Is there anything else that you wanted to share?
Yeah, the Pollyanna, I think one of the things you mentioned that there is a, when we're dealing with Pollyanna, this magical thinking versus reality. And, of course, we want to think positive and we want to move forward, but we also have to face reality, too, with narcissists. I think that that's I think one of the key things.
Yeah, and then, you're absolutely right. Yeah, and what I say in the book is that, listen, positive thinking, you know, we're in this kind of movement of positive thinking and everything. But positive thinking without any reality base is just delusion. So, and that messes people up because they think, why can't I positively think myself out of this situation? There's some situations that are beyond the positive thinking. Once you do the healing and the work, then you can move on to positive thinking about that. But that doesn't mean you can't be positive about the fact that you can heal and that your life can change, right?
Right. Yeah. Well, I think one of the ways it has helped, too, in thinking about this, as I've mentioned before, I've been on the receiving end of a smear campaign just about a year ago, and I have no contact with my family right now over a narcissistic daughter-in-law. And I have people not speaking to me, not contacting me, or not even sent gifts. And they would not even respond to an email acknowledging. But anyway, back to the but what I'm doing for myself on that is I've decided to take a trip to Israel over Christmas instead of so that's my way of celebrating Christmas for myself. Rather than facing toxic, abusive people, it's not worth it.
I love that. And, because we do have to establish our own traditions and do things that make us happy. Just because it's been tradition to be with family on holidays doesn't mean we have to do that. We have got to do what feels best to ourselves, right?
Right, and it's hard because I will miss our family traditions, but it's not worth it to be subjected to abuse.
No, it absolutely is not, and I applaud you for making that change in your life and doing something. And maybe you'll go every year, or maybe you'll go to different places every year, and just be joyous without being pulled down by people who. They cannot be joyous or happy anyway. So it's not really a truly good environment to be in for the holidays.
And so, you know, the issue with my son, I've decided I don't want any dealings with holidays with my daughter-in-law. So I've decided to, I've worked out with him, visiting him right after New Year's. And then I won't be caught in the middle of all this holiday drama.
I love it. That's so good. You're doing so well with that. there are always ways around these things, always. And we just have to let go, like we're talking about the magical thinking and the Pollyannaism, that everything is wonderful and good and perfect and, you know, and we just stay in this mindset when it's really not helping us because when we don't face the reality of what we have to deal with, we never get better, and we have to get better because that's what this is all about. And actually, the letter that someone wrote is kind of about that. So, if there's nothing, do you have anything else you want to say, and then I'll get started with the letters?
Yeah, just one more thing, the idea, I think, also throughout this process, I've become more and more familiar with trauma bonding and that I don't take personally the when my son goes into these rages sometimes, because I know it's the trauma bonding talking, but I do set some boundaries, and I will not put up with that him raising his voice. They act like they're on drugs or they're drunk. They don't make any sense. They're totally irrational.
Right, and your son is not the narcissist. Your son is reacting to the abuse of being with a narcissist, right?
Right, exactly. So I don't take it. The only word I can think of, he just acts like an asshole.
Right.
If he imagines that I'm so this is why it's easier. Say, Mark, I need you. I had to be very blunt with him to work out with your wife. I'd like to have time with you between January 1st and January 8th. Just right to the point. Please work that out.
That is wow. That's great, and that's an amazing boundary that you've set, and that puts the ball in his court. So
I have no contact with her, and it works for me.
Yes, I love it. You're doing so great. I appreciate
but
that.
But the trauma bonding is what is really difficult for people, because it's very easy to patronize others and say, "Why don't you get out of that relationship?" You can't. You're trauma bonded. It's two horrific forces working together. You have
you're
to
right.
say they're hooked. It's like drug
they're
addiction.
Hooked. You're right.
So
it is.
I don't take it personally.
Good. Oh,
but
you're so smart. And
I,
everybody take, you know, listen,
voice.
Because this is what we strive towards. Listen, it's not that easy to just do. You've got to do some work. You've got to get the right perspective on this and understand if you've been directly abused, then, or over a long period of time, you have to understand that your mind has been changed. So you are not thinking the way that either you used to think or that you have the capacity to think. So I thank you for that. I thank you for calling in. I really do. I appreciate
okay.
that so much.
I'm looking.
Okay. I'll put you on hold and you can keep listening.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Okay, go. Okay. So, okay. Like I said, I have two letters. I'm going to try to get to both of them because they both have a lot of... There's a lot of information. Oh, it's 11:11. Very good. Thank you, Spirit. I always, that's good luck. Anyway, so the first letter I got is, I have listened to you for years, but am finally healed enough to have emotional distance and conscious reflection to work with you without unhealthy neediness. Many just do not understand the deep-seated sensitivities that are experienced with this type of abuse. So in addition to my request, I wanted to thank you for the validation and encouragement. I would be interested in hearing your commentary on your spiritual beliefs surrounding the narcopathic personality in the lives of individuals and on a global scale in society. In the past, I held strong spiritual beliefs that were dismantled when first dealing with this level of abuse. So it would be great to have you elaborate on why you think God allows this extremely evil and parasitic personality to flourish. Why psychopaths and misogynists are allowed to abuse with impunity, have no accountability for their actions, but rewarded in society with their mask identities honored and respected. Please respond, because witnessing this impunity in our tattered lives and in society over and over really wears on the soul. Good people seeing bad people getting away with gaslighting, scapegoating, disorienting, uprooting, and ruining people's entire lives. We need more spiritual explanations and belief systems that do not involve victim blaming and taking responsibility for the behavior of others. This is such an important letter. I may have addressed answers to this in bits and pieces throughout the shows that I do, but I'm going to give you my perspective on this. So first of all, there were, many years ago, I had no faith, no hope, no belief in God or any higher power or the universe or anything like that. And it was all, I felt like I was the omnipotent one. I was the all-powerful one who could make all the changes, and it was a very physically oriented kind of thought process. But, you know, some problems are larger than us. Some problems are deeper than us. And we must have, I am not a religious person. I am not a God worshiper. But I have a very strong faith in the fact that the universe is very powerful and it's perfect. Everything is orchestrated perfectly. So I first encourage you to start looking into that kind of perspective, because life as we see it here is basically an illusion, and it's based on perspective. It's a human kind of thing that is flawed, but we're here for a reason. We're here because we come here because there's no negativity when we're just souls. We have to come here and experience negativity because that's how we learn and grow. But understand that each one of us has a completely different perspective on life. No two people see it exactly the same, which goes to show you that it really is illusory, that we are experiencing our own journey in the way that we see our own journey. So I tell you that because I want you to have a broader perspective on what this life is about and why we're here. If everything was good and all people were good and no one challenged us, it would be such a nothing life. We would never grow because when we feel pain, we grow from it. And without pain, there is no joy. So we have to have this black and white, this up and down. These are the things that make us human and help us to grow and learn. We learn from adversity. What I always say about narcissistic abuse is that, you know, and it may be hard to hear if you're just beginning this journey, but I have seen this over and over, and I believe wholeheartedly from my perspective that this is the truth. So narcissistic abuse is probably, I'm not saying there's not other terrible kinds of abuses, but narcissistic abuse is probably the worst kind of abuse we could ever experience because it is so covert and intangible. It changes who we are, it messes with our brains, changes our creates neuropathways that make us think in very weird, distorted ways. But the one thing that narcissistic abuse does for us is that it brings every bit of anything we need to work on ourselves, right to the surface all at once, and we get to look at it. There are people, the caller and I were just talking about the Pollyannaism and the magical thinking. There are people who go through life and never really do any work on themselves because they've never had a reason to, or they've decided to look away and just kind of float through life and just go from one thing to the other. When you are abused by a narcissist in any way, shape, or form, you will experience every kind of issue that you need to work on to be the very best you can be. And that's what we're really here to be, the very best aspect of who we are. And each person that's here, this is like a puzzle. Every single person here is a piece of this puzzle. Life doesn't function without each one of us in it. That's not easy to always see. But what we need to do is focus on ourself and our journey and accept responsibility for ourself and our journey. Instead of focusing on why are these people bad and why are they hurting others, we need to focus on what we need to do to make us the best we can be. And it's all right there. The work shows itself to you, but you have to do it. That's the thing. Suffering is optional. Pain in life is mandatory. We are all going to suffer pain, but suffering is optional. That's a choice that we make. And in order to not suffer, we have to take responsibility for our life and our journey, and we have to grow. We are here to reach our full potential. Whether we do it or not is up to us. If you're being shown that you're hurting, people are an impetus for those changes in us. These people who walk, you know, the streets, these bad people, so-called bad people, or personality disordered people, or whatever they are, evil people, whatever you want to call them, they challenge us to reach our full potential. And what's really interesting about that is they never get to. They never get to. So what you see them, you know, you think they're doing so well and they're getting away with everything and they're living this life completely blind to what they're doing. It is a completely wasted life. They never reach their full potential. They don't even reach a small amount of it because this starts in childhood. So they really just don't grow as human beings. It's a sacrificial kind of life. These people are also incapable of feeling happiness. But you can feel happiness. That is the beauty. And if we look at life and the purpose of life and why we're here, the reason is to feel happiness and to feel joy and to grow and to love. These people can never love. They can never grow. They can never feel happiness. That is a life sentence. And while you may be suffering right now, you have the capacity to get to the point where you can feel happiness and joy and love. And you can have peace within yourselves. They never can. So you are at a great advantage, and they are at a huge disadvantage. So if you want to look at you in contrast to these people who are, you know, victimizing you, because that's really what they're doing, the difference is to understand that you've been victimized, but not to take a victimization kind of stance, because we can rise above this. I have risen above this. I know it's possible. There's nothing unusual about me, except that I put my heart, my soul, and every bit of me into healing. And that's why I'm able to help you. And that's another thing, is that when we help ourselves, then we have this passion for sharing our story and helping others. This is why I do what I do. So I hope that answers the question. I really want you to see it from the point of growth, not from the point of victimization, because you can rise above this, and that is the bottom line. Okay, I'm going to try to get to the second letter, and this is a long one. So, okay, why I'm writing. I believe there is a huge void in addressing narcissism in the area of intergenerational scapegoating, and I'm hoping you might consider devoting some time to this. Background in a nutshell, I'm a 60-plus female and a lifelong learner, mostly in the last 20 years, into gaining insight into why I have always felt or feel I am flawed. I've always felt I am deserving of punishment at anybody's whim, and why I attract people who enjoy to mistreat me, and why I default to there's something wrong with me, and previously feeling like I deserve this treatment, or that I've been put here on earth to help others feel superior, feel better through me. And this person is talking about, I can't really read this whole letter because it'll take too much time, but she's talking about that her own children, who are adults, have been treating her the same way in her life. They scapegoat her for everything and anything. They are disrespectful. And she says there's not much help out there for this phenomenon where scapegoating continues from your own offspring. It is so incredibly painful, way more painful than having been the scapegoat in your family of origin. I'm just going to paraphrase this. I have experienced firsthand that scapegoating abuse does not end once you become an adult and detach somewhat from your family of origin. I understand my parents, who are deceased, my brothers, and forgive them. However, it is so painful to have to detach or protect yourself from the ongoing scapegoating from your own adult children. So, okay, I can absolutely speak to this. And she says, thank you for considering this, and thank you for all you do for so many people. So sorry for my rambling. Okay. So what I'm going to say about this is when you have been scapegoated in childhood, abused in childhood, whatever form of abuse that has made you feel less than. One of the things that you do not develop is a boundary system. And without a boundary system, this pattern will repeat over and over and over again, because you have got to teach the people in your life, the children, starting from a very young age, what boundaries are and where they cannot cross them. And if your children are scapegoating you, it's because there is no boundary system in your family. None. Everybody's enmeshed with everybody else, and that's why it feels so painful. And when I first realized that I had suffered abuse in my childhood, I was in so much pain. And when it was identified that this was a boundary system issue, and I was taught how to develop those boundaries, everything in my life changed. The pain began to diminish and eventually went away. Now, it's very hard to develop boundaries if you've never had them. But this is another reason why I urge you to get this book. There's an entire chapter on boundary systems, what they're about, how to go about developing them, why they're so important. So if you're being scapegoated in your life by anyone, it's because there are no boundaries. And a lot of people think the boundaries are mean, that they won't be loved if they put their foot down and say, no, I find this intolerable. And whether you agree or not, I have to go with what feels best to me. This is about self-love and taking care of yourself. This is about treating yourself first and making sure that you're okay before you make other people okay. I can't stress that enough. It is the root of all healing, especially from this kind of abuse. So, you know, when you've never established boundaries before, the first thing that you want to do is do it in a way that is comfortable for you. Because when you establish boundaries, there have got to be consequences for those boundaries, and they need to be spoken of. They need to be shared. So at the same time that you affirm your boundaries and say them, assert them, you also have to explain what the consequences for crossing those boundaries are. And then you have to be ready to stick to them. Because the first time you establish boundaries with someone who never had them with you, they are going to be rageful. They are going to push every button you have to try to cross those boundaries and get you to knock them down because they don't want them. Because then they can't abuse you. Now, you know, we learn to manipulate through manipulative parents. Narcissists are certainly manipulative parents. So as children, we learn the mechanisms of how to manipulate people and get what we want in life. And it's no different when we get to be adults. So children who have been exposed to a narcissistic parent will learn a certain level of manipulation. And it's up to you as the other parent or the non-pathological parent to teach these kids how to have this boundary system, what is right and what is not right. It's up to you to teach these children. Now, if you are married into a situation like that and you are victimized yourself, you won't be able to see that. And the whole family will be dysfunctional. The whole family will have this problem with the boundary system. And you won't know where to begin because you have no boundaries with your spouse either. So it's hard to put it in place. But once you realize what you've been dealing with, you must go through the process of healing. And when I say that, I've explained this, I say this over and over, and you might be sick of me saying it and sick of hearing it, but You must get help for this because you cannot do this alone. Narcissistic abuse changes the way your brain functions. And you can't think yourself out of this. So if you're listening and you know this is going on, you've suffered this, and you're beating yourself up because you know you're an intelligent person, yet you can't seem to get past this because with narcissistic abuse, what you know intellectually is not what you feel emotionally. So you must get help from someone like me. I'm here to help you, and I do it for such a reasonable price because I want you to get help. But the other thing is, I wrote this book for you and for those very reasons. You need to get this book. People are saying it is the Bible. It will help you so much in every aspect of understanding who the person is, what the abuse is about, and there are several levels of abuse. There are different kinds of narcissists. You need to understand exactly what you're dealing with. You also need to understand the nature of the abuse you're experiencing, whether it be parent, spouse, child, friend, coworker, boss, love interest, relationship. I go over every single relationship. I talk about each one and lay out. I also always give a case history so you can see yourself in that case history. And then I explain the dynamics of that relationship so you can understand what has happened to you. Because without understanding the mechanisms used against you, you cannot get better. So it's important before you try to heal your children that you heal yourself. Because now this caller, she has a family where it's just perpetuating. And she's still suffering. She suffered in childhood. Now she's suffering as a parent. And now is the time to take control of the situation. Now, to the person who wrote in, you may never be able to fix this situation. Never. Because if your children are adults, then it's pretty dyed in the wool until they wake up and see that something in their life is not working and it's painful and they're having bad relationships and they're not able to keep a job or they're not able to progress in life or reach their academic potential or any of these things. At some point, everybody crashes. They realize that, oh my gosh, life just isn't working out for me. And each person has to come to that on their own, and that's when they can begin the healing process. For you, this is about you correcting been done to you in the past and developing boundaries and getting strong within yourself so that you will never allow this to happen to yourself because you love yourself and you never want this to happen to you. People in life will beat us up emotionally, sometimes physically. People will beat us up, and if we allow them, that's on us. We have to learn to not let people beat us up, and we have to do whatever it takes. And this is where the levels of contact come in. This is where the limited contact, the no contact, we have to make these choices based on what our needs are. And if you've been abused by a narcissist, you know that you've seen selfishness at its very worst. The last thing you want to be is selfish, but self-love is what we are born to have. Do you think we're put here to not love ourselves? Do you think we're here to walk around as a victim and in pain all the time? No. We come into this world as perfect human beings, able to love and able to feel love. If the narcissist takes that away from us, then it's just something we've got to get back. This is about working on ourselves. It's about seeing hurdles that are placed before us and realizing that's why we're here, because that is a hurdle we have to jump. When something is uncomfortable, it means there's something we need to do with ourselves to get beyond that. And when we do that, we are so empowered, and this is how we grow as a person. And this is how we reach our full potential. So scapegoating, when you're a child, you have, there's no way to fight that. You're powerless as a child because these people are putting a roof over your head. These people are hopefully feeding you. They're taking care of your basic needs. And you can't go out and live on your own. You are a child. There's no way for you to function alone. And nobody's going to take you in because they're going to think you're a bad child because your parents are going to tell them that you are. So you're stuck. So if you're scapegoated in childhood, you are stuck. When you get out of that environment, that is the time to make the changes. The sooner you make the changes, the better off your life is going to be. And if you don't make those changes, you will be victimized over and over and over again. There's no other way it can happen. Because if you don't have self-love and a boundary system, people will sniff you out and step all over you. You will attract the people who are users and abusers. They will seek you out. And all you'll want to do is help them. Instead of saying, this isn't good for me, all you'll want to do is say, well, they're hurting. I need to be understanding. I need to be helpful. No, that's not what you need to be. You need to love yourself first and then be loving and helpful. That's how it works. But we have these convoluted messages as abuse victims that our life is about being there for others. That's all we're good for. And we won't be loved if we aren't there for others. This is absolutely not true. I had that mindset. I get it. I had it. I'm actually rewriting my memoir and putting it out. And you will see. And I've actually, as I'm rewriting it, I'm able to see, oh my gosh, look at this pattern. Look at this pattern of me trying to fix people instead of fixing myself. And it was when I reached my absolute bottom and went, I can't do this anymore, was when I began to seek reasons for it and found out it was all on me. It was me. It was the limitations I had and the lack of boundaries and the lack of self-esteem and the lack of self-love that kept me in these terrible, terrible situations where my life was in danger quite often. Now I have self-love and I have so much love to give out. I never run out of love. If I had tried to counsel people and do what I do now, 20 years ago, I would have been a mess because I would have taken it all on because I had nothing for me. But now I have that self-love. I have that boundary system, and I can help you. And I can help you and help all these people and do it day in and day out. And it takes nothing from me, love, myself. And that gives me buckets full of love to give you. So this is the perspective that I want you all to have. It starts with you. There are things you will have to sacrifice and give up, as I was talking to the caller about. You may have to give up your family, but the choice is yours. The choice is, do you want to suffer anymore? And that is the bottom line. If you don't want to suffer anymore, you may have to make sacrifices. I'm not saying this is an easy thing to do. But you're going to decide if suffering is what you want to do, and if you don't want to suffer, you have to learn how not to do that and decide what you are willing to sacrifice to feel better in your life. Because this is your life. We come into this life alone. We leave this life alone. We are souls. We go on a soul journey. We are all we truly have when it comes down to it. We have got to take care of who we are first. First. So that is what I have to say. And it is really, it sort of answers all the questions and it speaks to what our caller was talking about. This is about you and your choices. This is about you and your personal growth. Do you want to be here and waste a whole life just being stepped on and hurt? Or do you want to find a way to rise above that and get better and embrace life in whatever way you want to and in whatever way you deserve to? So that is what I have to say. I am here for you. I want you to get this book, Close Encounters of the Worst Kind, The Narcissistic Abuse Survivor's Guide to Healing. It is available on Amazon, in paperback, and in Kindle. I want you to get this book. You will not be sorry. It will help you. It will answer every question you could potentially have. And then I'm here to help you for counseling. I'm here to get you over the hump. Some people only call me one time, and that's all they need. You may need more, but do the work so you don't have to suffer. And that is what I have to tell you for today. And I'm so glad you all listened in. My next show will be on January. Oh, I'm running out of time here. Let me see. My next show will be on Friday, January 12th, 11 a.m. Eastern Time. The number to call in is 424-220-1801. If you have questions, you can write me at loveyourlife@randygfine.com. Randy is R-A-N-D-I. loveyourlife@randygfine.com. And I wish you all a wonderful, wonderful holiday season, a very happy new year. And may joy and serenity always be yours. Goodbye.
We hope you enjoyed today's programming. To learn more about Randy Fine, read her articles, or to make a counseling appointment with her, please visit randygfine.com. That's R-A-N-D-I-G-F-I-N-E.com. Or visit her on Facebook at Randy G. Fine.